So part two of navigating the vision. Last week we talked a lot about this is just kind of like that song said, where is he sending you? And like Ben, like you said, it's our life. It's a journey. This is our life. And so it's just not a simple vacation when he gives you a vision. You're walking out a lot of different things, and most of the time you have more than one vision in there that's all wrapped into one that is your destiny. And so, and he knows that, right? He built the playing field that we're on. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what muscles that you need to flex and work out. And so this is the navigation that I wanted to talk about today. So last week we talked a lot about accepting the call. So that very first step, you putting your yes on the table, and how sometimes that is not so simple, right? Sometimes you have the what if questions. Well, what if you're going to send me to Egypt? What if, you know, I'm going to have to move? What if I don't feel qualified for that? And instead of just saying yes, we start doubting ourselves and walking through all of that. And then step two, we talked about preparing for the journey and what that means and what that looks like. And preparation really is spending time with him, because he wants you to be completely and utterly healed and full and ready to go before he sends you out, right? And so I shared a little bit of my testimony and some of the deep healing and the deep work that he did. And sometimes it's just the simple things as well, right? Those little tiny polished things that he's going, hey, that is right there. And if I can just nudge that out, you're going to be so ready to go. And that is not going to be a hindrance up ahead. And so today, those were the kind of the first two steps. And today there's three more steps that I wanted to kind of walk you through. And Ben, I'm so glad that you said, I'm still walking this out, right? So I don't have all of this down. I don't have it all perfect, but I'm definitely seeing the fruit of what it looks like. And so the first thing I wanted to talk about today was nourishment for your journey, right? So if you're going to go out on a big expedition or you're going to go hiking, you're going to have nourishment for yourself. And so I want to talk a little bit about what does that mean when you're navigating the vision. And so a lot of us, whenever he gives us that vision we talked about even last week, we want to get from point A to point B super fast. We're like, oh, great. Thanks. You've told us. Let's go. And I talked a little bit. That's how I like to drive. So you're going to give me a plan. Let's go and execute. And that's not always the case, right? And so our journey requires nourishment and sustenance. And I want to kind of walk through the definition of what those are. So nourishment is defined as the food or other sustenance necessary for growth, health, and good condition. Think about that. That's what the food does to our body. It's necessary for growth, health, and good condition. And sustenance means of sustaining or supporting life or health. So you have to have that nourishment to sustain where you're going and what you're doing. And so we are spirit beings. So what is our sustenance and nourishment? Man does not live, you know this scripture, man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by what? Every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Think about that. I talked a little bit about that last week, that it's the word. This is nourishment. But then I talked about spending all of that time with him and listening and hearing all different things. And what I wrote down, this was also nourishment. This was words that he specifically gave me, because this is our guide. This is the word. It has it all in here. And these ones are the ones he specifically said, Jen, this is what it looks like for you. Yeah. Right? And he's giving you that as you're walking through your journey. You have those pieces of nourishment along the way. And I talked about, and I'm going to get into a little bit later, but whenever you start getting discouraged, when I do, I go back and say, wait a minute, you said this, and you cannot lie. And you said this, what's in the word, and you cannot lie. So I want to dig a little bit more into Deuteronomy. And I don't know if you guys knew this or not. I did not. And I love to study. And something kept telling me, look at the book of Deuteronomy and what it is, and kind of the theme behind it. So Deuteronomy is largely a sermon or a set of sermons preached by Moses to all of Israel shortly before his death, okay? And it was not long before the conquest of the land under the leadership of Joshua. I did not know that, and I was like, wow, that's pretty profound, because sometimes we go, oh, that's the Old Testament, and they're telling us stories. I'm like, oh, wow, this is motivation for their journey. He was giving them nourishment before they went out. Before he was gone, this was the set of sermons that he had. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 10. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers, and you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out. And this one, I you always hear that one, right? But this next piece, I thought, man, I never thought of it that way. And your foot did not swell. So it wasn't just the outside pieces, it was internally. He was keeping them fully nourished as they were walking through the wilderness. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Wow, I mean, could you imagine sitting there? They've been sitting there walking through the wilderness, and here Moses is saying, hey guys, wait a second, are you realizing these last 40 years, the blessing that you've had? The Lord fed you manna, your fathers did not know, you never seen it before, right? And your clothes never wore out, your feet did not swell as you're wandering in this wilderness. I wanted to add a little bit here from the footnote as I was studying. It says, the wilderness test was to reveal the state of Israel's heart. This does not imply that God did not know, but rather he desired for Israel's heart to produce evident obedience. How often does he do that? Well, we're walking it out. He's seeing where we are. He already knows our hearts. He knows where we are, right? He's a good father. Manna literally means, what is it? It was not to their liking. So they didn't like it, even though they're getting fed while they're there. The testing was also to teach Israel that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And this next sentence hit so hard whenever I was studying. It says, real life derives directly from God and trusting his word. I'm going to say it again. Good. Real life derives directly from God and trusting his word. So often, I talked about that last week, we get so ingrained in culture and what culture's saying or where we are, and this is defining life. That does not define our life. Real life derives directly from God and trusting his word. I mean, it seems so simple, but when we really break it down, that is pretty powerful. It takes everything else, all the kind of crud and all the things that are our blockages, and it just goes poof, and it throws them in the trash can. Real life is right here. And as I was studying this, I felt it. The very first verse says, and go in and possess the land. We're supposed to possess land. Each of you have land to possess, right? Yeah. He's called you to a specific region, a specific area. It's your land to possess. We have all authority and power through Jesus Christ. And that is what we're supposed to be doing, is sitting with him and going, Lord, where do you have me? Is it at work? Is it right here in my community? Is it a little bit further out? And sitting with him, he's going to show you what that land is. Good. That's so exciting. Yeah. And then collectively, we as a body, we have a land that we're possessing. Yeah. And it's all for his good, and it's all for his purpose, and it connects all of our vision. So we talked about words from the Lord are the nourishment on our journey. Because he's not going to just leave you out there all alone. He's not going to call you somewhere and say, okay, go figure it out, right? He's going to tell us, but we've got to sit with him. We talked about that last week, is the intimacy and making sure your lamp is full. So as you're walking through that path, you've chosen to sit with him and you're holding it, but you're keeping the oil in that lamp by the intimacy. by that time you're spending with him, talking with him. I will tell you, for me, I call it my daily manna. But it is sitting with him no matter where you are. So maybe you're at a stoplight. Maybe you're getting ready to have a really difficult conversation. And I've just learned to say, okay, Lord, what do I need to do right here? What do you want to come out of this? What does that look like? Okay, I've got a question. I've got to make a decision. What are you thinking? And so this might not be, maybe you say, I'm so busy, I don't have time to just kind of sit and pray for a couple hours. That's okay. He is always with you. And so what I've learned to do, even when life gets so crazy and so chaotic, is just sit with him. And as I'm going through my day, just kind of pray as I'm walking through it, as I'm getting ready to have a conversation, or maybe the phone rings and I just say, okay, Lord, what do you have? That's that daily manna. That is the nourishment on the daily with the Lord. Now, I talked a little bit about Abram and Sarai the last time, and we talked about Abram's call and what that looked like, and the Lord said, basically, leave everything and go out. So this is where Abraham gets refueled with vision. He's still Abram at the time, and this is where God makes the covenant with him. Genesis 15, 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, so here's where he's at. O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless. And the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. So what is he doing right now? There's a little bit of doubt. Like, where is it at? You've already promised this, but I still don't have it. And now someone else is going to be the heir when you promised me that it would be my son. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. The Lord was giving him nourishment and refueling him on his journey. I'm telling you again, Abram, you will be, this is who you are, and it will be through your heir, your son. And he, Abram, believed the Lord, and he, the Lord, counted it to him as righteousness, which we've heard that a lot, right? And so what this was saying was, even though there was no deeds happening right now from Abram, it was still counted and regarded as righteousness because of his faith. So he needed to be refueled. We get in those places where we need the refuel, right? Where we're walking it out, and then it's like, oh, I don't know, I need a little bit. And the Lord says, yep, let me remind you of exactly what I've already said. This is what I've said. Faith in God is something that everyone in the Bible was expected to exercise, and it entails trust in or confident reliance on God based on the truthfulness of his word. So it goes back to last week when we were talking about sometimes when we try to take control, that means we have a lack of trust. So that means we need to kind of go, okay, if I'm trying to control this right here, why? Where is my trust missing? Why do I feel that I can't trust him when he cannot lie? Nobody knows like you know what Jesus has done for you. If you will stir up your remembrance of those things, the book, right? You will deepen your hunger for him. So sometimes when we're feeling a little weak, a little weary from the road, we have to go, okay, I'm feeling this. Just like when you're hungry, man, I really need to eat something or I need to drink some water. This is where you need to assess that and go, okay, no, I need to spend a little bit more time here. Or I need to just talk to him a little bit. Or I need to check in, maybe have a mini huddle with him and say, Lord, where are we at? Here's where I'm feeling. And sometimes I do that. Sometimes I go, Lord, I don't understand. Or this is really frustrating. Can you help me see? Because not always is it just butterflies and rainbows, right? Sometimes it just doesn't make any sense. And so I have to seek him and say, okay, well, what is this? Or why am I feeling this way? So maybe it's not there, but I'm feeling this way for something, for some reason, and he highlights that to me so I can kind of walk through that. So nourishment for your journey, super important. The next piece, or step four, I guess, if you're putting them in two steps, is defeating discouragement, right? How many of you have felt discouragement in your walk or your vision? Right? I feel like we all have ran into that, or maybe you've run into that lots of different times. And so this can be so hard, because when we start feeling discouraged, this is where we're going, okay, I feel like I've tried to get the nourishment, but man, I still feel that there is a blockage here. And this is where we have the temptation to reroute, right? Back to that lack of trust, back to the control. Okay, now I'm feeling a little discouraged. So why am I feeling discouraged? Why do I feel like I need to reroute this? And here's a couple reasons why you might want to try and reroute. We begin to doubt that we heard the Lord correctly. How many of us have heard that? Oh, did I really hear him? Did he really say that? Was that just me? So we just start spiraling into confusion and doubt and worry about it. Now we're kind of concerned, especially whenever maybe you've made a really big move and you're like, oh, was that just me? Or was that you, Lord? Because now I've just rearranged my entire life. Or it doesn't seem like it is moving fast enough, right? So again, we want to get there and get to the end. Point A to B as fast, or A to Z, I guess, would be further, as fast as possible. We want to help it along, kind of like Saul did, right? Let me just help it along. It'll be fine. I know where we're going anyway. It's totally good. Or it isn't going the way we think it should, and we feel we have missed a turn. Did I miss that back there? If I just backtrack and then we go again, did he say to make that turn? Maybe that was not the turn he said to make. I'll just step back and make my own turn back there. It'll be fine. We're rerouting it because now we're trying to figure it out naturally where we're going. And he's saying, hold up, just hold up. I promise I've got the right turn. So you guys know this, Abram and Sarai, that's why this is such a good, I love their story, because as you kind of pick it apart, they're navigating the vision. And so they ran into this exact same thing. And you guys know this part of the story, Genesis 16, 1 through 4. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. So we're still sitting there, still barren. And when we talked about last week, they started their journey late. Abraham was 75 when they began this journey. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar, and Sarai said to Abram, behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. Now, we all know where this went, right? This was not the Lord's intent of them having a son. And there's lots that happened after that, right? His intent was Isaac, not Ishmael. And so Sarai here was trying to reroute the vision. Okay, well, I can't do this myself, so have my servant. Let's walk it out this way. Maybe that's what he meant, right? We start going, maybe, I think he maybe meant this over here. And I'm going to go ahead and take that direction. And that's not what he's saying, right? And I think we fall into that so often, the reroute syndrome, I guess you could call it. The other thing that happens whenever we're defeating discouragement or discouragement sets in is contradiction, right? It feels completely opposite of what he said. And we're sitting there again going, this does not make any sense. It completely, not only is it like just a smidge of a turn, but it's a complete contradiction from what he has called us to. I'm going to take a quick drink of water. Maybe. Okay. Yeah, I felt like I was going to drop the water if I still tried to hold the mic. I can't do the Bob thing. He usually does it. I don't have that. Okay. So contradiction. I wanted to share, and I think this is so, I talked about it a little bit last week, but Hinds Feet on High Places is an amazing book if you have not read it. And so this part of the journey, her name is Much Afraid. She has been through valleys. She has done some treacherous work already on her journey to the high places, which is her heart's desire. It's where she wants to go. It's where it's been promised by the shepherd. And so I want to read this excerpt, so just bear with me a moment, but I feel like you're going to see some connection here. She says, "Shepherd," she said despairingly, "I can't understand this. The guides you gave me say that we must go down there into the desert, turning right away from the high places altogether. You don't mean that, do you?" So now she's questioning. We do that often. "You cannot contradict yourself. Tell them." So now what? She's taking control. "Tell them this. Tell them we are not to go there, and show us another way. Make a way for us, shepherd, as you promised." He looked at her and answered very gently, "That is the path, much afraid, and you are to go down there." "Oh no," she cried, "you can't mean it. You said if I would trust you," what's she doing now? "If I would trust you, you would bring me to the high places, and that path leads right away from them. It contradicts all that you promised." So now she's arguing with the shepherd. "No," said the shepherd, and I love his answer, "it is not contradiction, only postponement for the best to become possible." He knows right where we are. We have to trust him. He's built out everything. He knew you before the foundations of the world. He knows. Our journey is learning to how do we truly trust him, because he knows. Much afraid, felt as though he had stabbed her in the heart. Right? She feels, what are you doing to me? This is completely a contradiction. It's completely backwards. How could, you're supposed to love me. "You mean," she said incredulously, "you really mean that I'm to follow that path down and down into the wilderness and then over that desert away from the mountains indefinitely? Why? How often do we get to that place? Why? You're taking me down all these turns and roads. Why?" Now I lost my place. Okay. "And there was a sob of anguish in her voice. It may be months, even years, before the path leads back to the mountain again." So now she's looking. Okay, so now you're wanting me to go this direction. How much longer do I have to wait? My heart's desire is right there. Why can't I just go there right now? "Oh, shepherd, do you mean it is indefinite postponement?" So now she still is not listening. She's still saying, is this going to be indefinitely? I'm never going to get to the high places. He bowed his head silently and, much afraid, sank on her knees at his feet, almost overwhelmed. He was leading her away from her heart's desire altogether and gave no promise at all as to when he would bring her back. So now she's just wanting, just tell me, is this just for 6 months? Is it 3 months? If you let me know, I'm going to feel a little bit better. He didn't say anything. As she looked out over what seemed an endless desert, the only path she could see led farther and farther away from the high places, and it was all desert. Then he answered very quietly, "Much afraid, do you love me enough to accept the postponement and the apparent contradiction of the promise and to go down there with me into the desert?" How much is he saying that to us? Do you love me enough just to wait it out? Just a little bit, because I know what's up ahead. I know what muscles you need to flex. I know where your heart is. I know what I've called you to. I'm just trying to help you be ready for when you get there. And you're going to be doing a lot of different things along the way, right? I feel for me, this is so relatable. So I shared a little bit last week of how he called me here. And I'm like, okay, and just the kind of the what ifs and the argument for a 2-hour drive and all the things. And I finally said, okay, yep, my yes is on the table. And again, I'm thinking, okay, we're going to just hit the ground running. I'm going to know exactly what I'm doing. And he would slowly give me pieces. And he said, I called you to the business world. And I'm like, okay, cool. That makes sense. I'm from the business world. This would be easy. I got this. Again, who has it? Not me. He does. But in my head, I'm like, okay. I had a contract to write 2 ebooks on culture, which I did, right? And so I'm thinking, okay, I'm moving. I spent an entire year working on those books and building out my business, Jen Renee LLC, coaching and consulting and teaching. I built all my services, all my offerings. I did it all, and I'm thinking, here we go. Okay, he took me out of the corporate world. He has me doing this. He's called me to this, so it's going to move pretty quickly. So for a whole year, I spent time at the Carthage Square in a local coffee shop building all of this. Then COVID hits, right? We can't get out. We can't go anywhere. Everything's kind of really slow. Obviously, consulting and teaching and some of those things aren't happening. And I had a few clients even before and after that, but it was still really slow and I couldn't figure it out. I thought, Lord, didn't you call me to this? And then I started questioning myself. Okay, wait, did I make that up? Was I supposed to build that? Was I supposed to build that business? He said, yes, you're right. That's kind of all I got. I was like, more information would be great. But it was just the confirmation, right? That, nope, you're right. Okay, so that's good. I wasn't following my own heart. I'm following where you led me. But it still wasn't making any sense. And we got to a place where financially I had to get a job. And so I'm thinking, this doesn't make any sense. Am I not walking out what you call me to walk out? So I sat and I prayed. And honestly, it was such a temptation to go back to the old world, right? A phone call, an email, hey, I'm ready to come back. And I did not feel in my spirit that's what I was supposed to do. But I'm like, but it's the finances, the security again, right? Like I talked last week, the insurance, all of it. All I have to do is make a phone call and it's done. And I knew I was not supposed to. And I thought, okay, Lord, so what you call me to doesn't seem like it's working. The old life, you won't let me go back to. What are you calling me to? You know, I was really stuck. And so I looked for a couple jobs and I actually had found one called Vision Carthage. And I thought, well, that's a really interesting name. You guys know me. I love visioning and vision boarding. And so I kind of looked into it. And then I had realized I had actually met the executive director at the time at the coffee shop I had been at. Interesting. I would have had no idea there would have been a connection other than just knowing her. But what does the Lord do? He prepares the way. He prepares the way before you even know he's preparing the way. He's preparing the way today for you, for something that might not even happen for a year or 2 years from now, but he knows, right? He knows. And so I thought, well, that's more than just coincidence. So I prayed on it and I applied for that job. And we were to a place financially where I was like, I should probably apply for a few more jobs, right? Like I need to get to this place. And I just felt my spirit know. And I thought, okay, well, what if I don't get this job? Then what? You know, now I'm having to start square one. And so I had to wait a few weeks and it was treacherous because we were at a place where we needed finances. And I'm like, oh, okay, but I trust you. And I sat there, ended up getting the job, right? And at the same time, he was calling me to, and he had mentioned it multiple times, to rebuild cities. And I thought, that seems large and that seems huge. And I don't know, what does that mean? How do you do that? What are the blueprints to that? And what's so interesting about some of the work that I do now, it's very integral in working with residents and the community and the city and the different things that are going on. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I still don't know all that you have planned, but I do know that you're showing me new things. You're teaching me new things. You're creating more blueprints for me. You're creating more learning as I'm walking through this. And I had never seen things from the perspective of a nonprofit before, right? It was very different. And so it's very intriguing now to walk through and see things from that side and what that looks like. And it's like, okay, you're broadening my perspective. You're broadening my view. You're adding new tools to my tool belt as I'm walking out this vision. I still don't know exactly what that means, right? But that's what he's doing. And so when I'm sitting here trying to be discouraged and beat myself up and go, this business is an utter failure. It'll never happen. Why did I even start this? Did you even call me here? All the things that try to come in, it's like, nope, I'm coming right back to what you said to me. And I know I'm in the right place. I know you've called me here. And I'm going to trust that even though it looks like a failure or looks like discouragement, that you have the best. The postponement is going to be worth it. And I feel he's saying that to you guys today. If you're feeling in a place of postponement, it's going to be worth it. It is going to be worth it. He has a land for you. He has a vision for you. And it's going to be worth it. So many exciting things I truly believe are coming this year. I mean, I feel like they have been, and they've been building up, and they've been building up. But I feel this year we're going to feel an explosion of things. Just unexpected things. And that's, I mean, even in the role I'm in right now, unexpected things happen like that that I wasn't even anticipating. We were office of three, and now we're office of one. All because, and no one even knew. And it was just like the Lord did. He knew way back there. He knew what he was doing, and he knew way back there. And things that you weren't, I was not expecting came forth. And then I had to seek him and go, okay, whoa, whoa. Are you calling me to that before I just hop in? And that's what he's going to be doing. I feel unexpected, amazing things are going to be happening this year. They're going to happen this year. Amen. Yes. Okay. A couple other things whenever you're working on defeating discouragement. Reset your sights, right? So just like I was sharing, your perspective. He might be broadening your perspective. And it might feel a little hard. You might feel a little push, but he is trying to broaden your perspective. Check your heart condition. Where's your heart at? Embrace the unexpected moments. We're not expecting them, and that's probably for a reason. What are you declaring, and what are you speaking? Are you speaking life? Are you speaking ruin? What's coming out of your mouth? Are you calling out your vision? Are you calling out the next step? Are you sitting back here and you're complaining? It could be so easy. Well, this is so hard. Oh, this is so crappy. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. We all know this scripture, but it's so simple when you just look at it. Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. And sometimes we get so stuck in our own thoughts. We let them take over. They're not the same. He loves you so much, you've got to trust him. What was most interesting as I was studying was Proverbs 3:5-6. And I probably said that four times, the most interesting thing. But as I study, I keep finding more nuggets and I'm like, man, this is so good. How did I not see that before? But Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. So again, we're not trying to control it. We give the trust to him. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. So I always, when I read this, had envisioned a straight path, right? Like if I just look and lay it all down, it's just going to look straight in front of me, right? I mean, did anyone else kind of envision it that way? That's how I've always envisioned that. Oh, he'll just take all the hills and the valleys, and he's just going to iron it out. And I love this footnote because I don't think I would have ever seen it before otherwise. But it says, to make straight a person's path means to make the course of the person's life one that continually progresses toward a goal. Let me read it again. To make straight a person's path means to make the course of the person's life one that continually progresses toward a goal. It's navigating the vision. There will still be hills and valleys and some woods and maybe some mountains, but we're still progressing toward the goal. That's what that means when it says he will make straight your paths. You're walking with him. You've got your lamp. You've got it filled with oil, and he will make it straight because you're trusting in him and you're not leaning on your own understanding. Because as I said earlier, we are spirit beings. He's created us differently, and so often we want to live in the natural. Everything's in the natural, and he's like, no, I need you to break free of that. Another thing that can help with defeating discouragement is practice thankfulness. So when you're sitting there and it's hard, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. You've called me to this place. I thank you, Lord. You might have put that specific instant, that specific person, maybe it's very frustrating, but you put that there for a reason. And maybe it's working something out in me. Maybe it's working out patience in me, but maybe it's working something out in them, right? Because we are called not just for ourselves. We are called for each other. And the biggest thing when you're walking this out and trying to work through defeating discouragement is taking it one day at a time. The Lord has given us 24 hours in a day on purpose. And sometimes we try to plan ahead and put everything in there. Maybe we're worrying about tomorrow, or maybe we're worrying about the past, all of the things. And he said, I gave you one day. Spend one day at a time with me. And Psalm 143:8 says, let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. It's starting with him first. And that word again, trusting him. One day at a time. As I've walked through this journey, one scripture that I have probably had for 6 or 9 months that I read and reread, and I have it posted. So I know some of you probably do that. It literally, I wrote it out so I can look at it and see it, and it's in my vision. It's in my view. It's Hebrews 10:36. And this one's out of the Amplified. For you have need of patient endurance, which means to bear up under difficult circumstances without compromising. I read that and reread that and reread that. And when things got hard, I'm like, okay, patient endurance, Lord, that's why you're building me. To bear up under difficult circumstances that don't make sense, that I just want to ask the why to, without compromising. He's testing your heart in that. Are you going to stand? Are you going to trust me through that? Are you going to sit with me as you're going through that? Because I don't want you to compromise. Because I'm prepping you for the future. I'm prepping you for up ahead. So whenever you get to those places, and as you continue to move through your journey, and things get tougher and things get harder, guess what? You're going to just mull right through it. You're just going to go right through it. Because you have taken the time to have patient endurance. Good. And when you've done those, so that when you have carried out the will of God, you may receive and enjoy to the full what is promised. That's his promise to us. I've already promised it to you. It's not going to be taken away, but I'm working this out in you. I'm working out patient endurance for the journey, because it's a journey. And I'm going to give you vision upon vision upon vision for the journey. And walking out the patient endurance. So I've kind of talked about accepting the call. That was kind of step one. Step two is preparing for the journey. Step three is nourishment as you're walking the journey out. And four is defeating discouragement. And as I said, I was trying to figure out, Lord, how do you want to wrap this up? What does this look like in return and rescue? Return and rescue. Because our journey, it's interconnected. It's just not our journey. That's a lie when the enemy is trying to get you to think that it's just you and just focus on self. There are needs and sometimes things that you need to look at right for self. That's different. He's calling us to return and rescue. So after we've kind of walked through something or we figured it out over here, we can pick up the next person. We can lean back and pick up this person over here. And maybe we're still kind of walking through it, but we've gained maybe step one and two through it. We're like, hey, I can help you through that. That's what the Lord's called us to. A life together. We are one body. Yeah. One body. And your journey requires you to walk out those certain things. And your journey may be the exact testimony for someone else to be set free and for you to go back out and help the others. I kind of talked about that last week. I would just, and I laugh sometimes what he calls you to, but I would just be happy sitting on my farm in my little office writing. I'll write books. I'll send them out. And he's like, I've called you to more. called you to do a little bit more. I'm going to push you here a little bit. I might push you out of your comfort zone a little bit here. And it's all for a reason. It's all to go help those and help them walk through the things that I've walked through. And so I have to share this next excerpt from Hines Feet. So now I had just kind of talked about her contradiction and her postponement. And now we're kind of at the end of the book. So clearly she went through the postponement. She's circling back. He gets her to the high places. And this, when I read it, I thought, man, that's exactly where we're at. This is the return and the rescue piece. And her name now is not much afraid. It is Grace and Glory. Because as she walked through this and as she's going back to the land of love, now she's Grace and Glory. Suddenly she understood. She was beholding a wondrous and glorious truth. A great multitude whom no man can number, brought like herself by the King to the kingdom of love and to the high places. So that's where they all are, right? They're sitting there, kingdom of love and high places all together. And she's almost kind of forgotten about her friends and people below because she's went on this journey and she's finally made it to her heart's desire so that they could now pour out their lives in gladdest abandonment, leaping down with him to the sorrowful, desolate places below to share with others the life which they had received. They went back with him. They went back to pull those up. They went back to go and minister, and some of them already knew who she was, and so they're going to know her testimony. They're going to know where she went. And honestly, through that book, a lot of them along her journey were laughing at her, were mocking her, were telling her she couldn't make it, that she was too broken to make it, but she's going back to get him. She went back to get him, and that's what the Lord's called us to. Not just navigating our own vision, but once we're walking through it, to go back and get him. And maybe you're just needing nourishment today. Maybe you're just needing to refocus the vision. Maybe you need help defeating discouragement. Because maybe you've been sitting there so long, it just feels like it's never going to happen. Here to tell you it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Get excited. It's going to happen. I love this quote, and it probably won't go up there because I didn't give it to Caleb, but it's by Denzel Washington. It says, when you get it, reach back and pull someone else up. Each one, teach one. Don't just aspire to make a living, aspire to make a difference. Each one, teach one. We're all learning from each other. My hope today is that you walk away feeling encouraged and equipped to navigating the vision the Lord has given you.